good.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back. Welcome back. If you're new to me, my name is Shua Allegra. I'm the founder of Grace and Hope Consulting, where we empower people to achieve mental and emotional wellness, reach their full potential, and live fulfilling lives. And everything we do at Grace and Hope Consulting evolves around resilience. And so I'm inviting new friends to the table to have this conversation about resilience. What does it look like in their lives? How they're helping others find resilience, how they find resilience in their own lives. And so we kind of learn from them, and so that we have the strength and tools for our own journey as well. So welcome, Gail. I'm so excited to get to chat with you today.
Thank you so much, Shu. It's good to be here.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks for making time to do this. So just, you know, so for our audience, give us a little bit of info about who you are and what you do.
Great. Thank you. I'd love to do that. So I've called Tucson, Arizona home for about 23 years, grew up back east in upstate New York. I'm married to my best friend and most avid supporter, Al, and we've been married. It'll be 42 years next month.
Wow.
Yeah.
The anniversary ahead of time, right? Early anniversary.
Yeah. So my background is 35 plus years in healthcare leadership. I've run huge medical practices, hospital departments, all of that. And I'm celebrating my 5-year anniversary actually as the owner of First Impressions Image Consulting. And so a lot of my healthcare background is in the field of human resources. So thus, as an image consultant, career coach, mm-hmm. I help build people's self-confidence.
Love it, love it, love it. Wow. And thank you, you know, for one, for all that you do. I know, especially the past 2 years, you know, the healthcare industry need resilient people, right? And not only you, be, you know, being a resilient professional yourself, but as your role in HR and human resources, you're helping others also be resilient professionals so that, you know, all of us have people caring for our health, you know? And so
exactly.
Thank you for that. And I'm curious then, how did you make the switch? And even maybe why, you know, making the switch from just doing it in HR, doing it in the health industry, to then owning your own business and doing this more as a consultant, as an independent coach?
Yeah, so my last job was in Phoenix, and it was the best job I really ever had, the most autonomy, the best salary, best people I was working with. And we moved back down to Tucson, and I tried to find an ideal job very similar to what I had in Phoenix, and I couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. And so I did a stint working for a couple of not-for-profits as a development director. Mm-hmm. And my husband, when he saw how frustrated I was, he said, you know, you should hang out a shingle and do HR consulting. And I do what I tell my clients to do, make a list of pros and cons. Mm-hmm. And the cons were this long and the pros were this far. And so I just decided to focus on the things I'd always been doing that I knew included mentoring people mm-hmm. I worked with. And mm-hmm. so really a lot of people struggle, particularly with confidence when they interview. Their resumes mm-hmm. are not mm-hmm. ideal. Mm-hmm. Interviews are intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
What do you wear for the interview? How do you impress on someone what you do without, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, people are always afraid that they're boosting themselves too much. That's the one time you get to really toot your own
exactly.
horn, right? You don't get
yes,
that much opportunity.
Yes.
So that's why I transitioned. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also a burn survivor. Mm. I was burned as a toddler. Wow. I was climbing up on a table to have snacks at an adult tea party and waiting for the hot chocolate to come, and a fresh pot of coffee was already on the table, and I reached for a cookie and I toppled the fresh pot of coffee off the table and all over me. So 40% of my body suffered third degree burns. I was in the hospital for months. My parents didn't know if I would live or die. We didn't have the kind of support that burn survivors have now, with local and national burn foundations and burn centers and hospitals and all of that. And so about a year ago, a colleague told me, after hearing my story, because I had never shared my story with anyone, carried that burden, right, that secret on my shoulders my whole life, She told me I really had a story that was encouraging, inspiring, and I needed to share it with others. And so my book was born. It was released literally 1 year ago, March 1st, on my birthday.
Wow. So congrats on sharing that story out to the world. Congrats on, you know, for all these years, if there's a toddler and now you're an adult, and, you know, and so many of us have the stories, right? Nobody knows and we don't share it. But that, I'm sure that was the beginning of resilience for you, right? Because as a little kid, you know, I can only imagine, and wanting to look like all the other kids. And I'm sure you probably have moments when you wanted to hide all the burns. Nobody should see or know about it, right?
Exactly.
And so through our life, like, to take us in that little journey of just how you build resilience from that, and then to now being a confidence coach, right? You know, yes, in spite of that. So yeah, I want to just hear like your own transformation.
Yeah, I did have a huge transformation. So it's funny because growing up, not funny per se, but growing up, you know, my parents were, you know, put your big girl pants on and just move forward, right? We didn't have support systems then, as I said earlier. I didn't know any other burn survivors until the last 8 months. And so I really did struggle with lack of self-confidence. I struggled with a lot of fears and phobias, rational and irrational, you know, body image issues. I didn't want to change clothes in gym. I didn't want to shop with girlfriends and change clothes in a, you know, in a dressing room. So I really struggled a lot growing up. I didn't like to look at myself in the mirror. Dating, as you can well imagine, was a nightmare. So all of that, you do build resilience and you learn to overcome. And what I've learned in overcoming a lot of obstacles, fears and phobias in particular, when we were ready to move to Tucson, Arizona, I knew one of my fears was snakes. And I knew we'd see snakes in the desert. And so I found a grad student at the University of New York at Albany, who was doing research for his thesis on overcoming fears, particularly of snakes and heights. That was another fear. And so it was supposed to be like a 4-week class. And I worked with him for about 5 months. And at the very end, like, I'm one of these people, I couldn't touch a picture of a snake on a book, couldn't touch a rubber snake. And I learned through him, the resilience piece was by exposing yourself to things, right? Touch, right? And breathing, you can overcome many, many things. And that helps build your resilience, right? I think everyone has been burned, whether physically or emotionally.
Yes.
And what the question is how do you get past that burn, right? We've all touched the hot cup of coffee from Starbucks and burned our mouth. We've been burned by something someone said that was cruel. Kids especially can be cruel, right?
Yeah.
So we all need to build resilience. We all need to figure out when we put up that thick skin, how to let people in. And through my recent journey, I've learned that by sharing, I'm healing. I never knew I had PTSD. All burn survivors do, regardless of the age and the extent of their burns. And so I'm finding as I share my story, I'm healing.
Yes.
But as I share my story, everyone has a story and they're sharing back. I'm giving them permission to share.
Yes.
And so they too are healing through that.
Yes.
So that's another form of resilience, right?
Exactly. Oh, and that's why we do this, right? It's so that we can all share our stories. For one, like you say, as we share, we're healing. As we share, others are healing.
Yes.
You know, it gives other permission. It encourages, inspires, empowers someone else to also share. To say, if she been through it, if she made it through it, so can I. Right.
Exactly.
It's not about being, you know, it's just the simple power of storytelling. And not storytelling, you're making up a story. No, it's like sharing from personal experiences. And that's beautiful. That just it's exactly what you said. It's how I think it should be, and how I even operate with all the things we do, from the podcast to the books now being to be published. It's sharing those stories that changes one person's life, that changes another person's life, that changes another person's life. And then at the end, we all have those stories to tell of how we overcame.
Exactly. And so, yeah. We're never alone. And I think if the book talks about anything at all, it talks about finding your superpowers, whatever they may be. We all have them, but they're sometimes hidden very deep. We have to find them. And then it's sharing those with others so they know they're not alone.
Yes. And I think that that's the thing sometimes we miss with going through any adversity. We think we have to do it by ourselves. We have to figure this out. And no, I can't ask for help because that'll show that I'm weak, that I don't know what I need to do. That is not true. You know, I often say that healing happens in community. And the more we partner with others, the more we're able to heal. But also not just healing, you know, internally and for what we're doing. But if you think about anything in life, when you say we've all been burned, right? It's burned by stress at work, burned by failed relationships, you know, if you've all been burned. And what helps us go from that burn to survival to thriving is bringing more people on the journey with us and helping people. Right. Yes. You shouldn't just have, you know, a free for all when everybody enters your life. No, you need to kind of have boundaries where you're more like a gate, right? You can open the gate to let healthy people in, you know, and then close it out to people who are not so healthy for you. Instead of having these fences, right? Let's have gates where we can decide who comes in and who stays out. But by letting boundaries. Healthy people in, exactly. But letting healthy people in, like you did, you know, going with that, you know, back then student where I was doing his research, and we were to help you with, I love exposure therapy. So a lot of the things I do, you know, I do a little cognitive behavioral therapy, I'm certifying that, you know, from trauma and grief and all that, and, you know, anxiety. And a lot of the things that I do, it's like our brains actually at the end of the day, do not know the difference between reality and imagination. It operates based on what data we give it, feed it. Just like if you water a plant, it's going to grow. If you don't water it, it's going to starve and die. So if your brain is, you know, overwhelmed by thoughts that create fear, that's how your brain is going to operate, out of fear. So then when you start exposing yourself to the threat and realizing, oh, it's not as bad. Oh, it's not as bad. Right. Oh, it's not as bad. And then you start.
It's never as bad as we think. Exactly. It's never as bad. If you start to think about what's worst case scenario, it's never going to get there. Right. But it takes us a long time to feel that security, that self-confidence, that we know that, and that we can trust in that.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, beautiful. So tell me how, you know, it's beautiful to hear your story, and I appreciate you sharing that from, like, you know, being a burn survivor and, you know, suffering PTSD into now being a confidence coach and helping others, especially in the workplace. Like, you know, people go for interview and all the no's become those personal rejection, right? We feel like, oh, I don't matter. I'm not good enough. That's why I'm not getting the job. And you and I know that's not true, right? No. So that maybe encourage someone who might be in that place right now. It's like, I've applied for, I literally had a session with someone this morning who was telling me that she applied and had 80 rejection letters.
Well, right now is a very difficult time. We hear on the news, we see in social media, there's a lot of jobs, right? The problem is for every job, there's 100 applicants. And so it's really important that your resume stand out among the competition. It's really important that when you get an interview, you really portray your best self, because we never get a second opportunity to make a first impression. This way or in person, no way, right? And so it's really important not to take those things personally, because you may have been the runner-up and they're not going to tell you that. There may have just been one tiny thing. They may have had one more year experience. They may have just felt a little more confident in the interview. It may have been, we don't know. There may have been an internal candidate. They're not going to tell you that, right? So just keep pushing, because eventually you will land that ideal job. That's the other thing, is to make sure the jobs you're looking for are a good fit. Interviews should be a two-way street. If the culture isn't a good fit,
if the position isn't a good fit, if you don't get a good feeling from the person on the other end of the phone or Zoom or whatever, don't settle. Don't settle. But I also encourage people to get help. If they've applied for 80 jobs and they're getting rejections, there's a reason. There's something that you need some help with. And that's why there are people like me, right, to help you. So maybe it's something simple as you're saying a lot of ums, because we all get nervous and it's intimidating. Maybe you're not having eye contact. Whatever it is, we need to work on ourselves. We're all a work in progress. And so, like you said, don't be afraid to ask for the help, because it's going to get you over that hump.
Yeah, yeah. And it, like you said, it, there's, you know, often, you know, we push, and it is good to push, good to persevere. But when something is not going as you expected, it's good to also pause and reflect. Yes. Right? What did I learn from that last interview? You know, and it's okay also to send that in, like when you send those thank you note and say, you know, thank you for letting me know that I didn't know that somebody else know was given the position. Is there anything I could have done differently? You know, what was the one thing that, you know, was a turnoff? Maybe not putting it that way, but, you know, but, or the kind of asking, you know, what are those areas that you saw that I could improve on?
Exactly. You know,
a more professional way to ask it, ask that question. Then you take that and get the support, you know, with a coach and move forward.
Exactly. Sometimes they, employers won't answer that because it can get them into liability issues.
Right,
however, right. What they do see in you when you ask those kinds of questions, either in person or in an email or whatever, it shows them that you really care, that you are into self-improvement, self-growth.
Yes.
And they may call you back for another interview, for another position, that maybe this wasn't the perfect fit. But you know what? The marketing department has something open and you might be a great fit for that.
Yes.
So that absolutely. And sending those thank you letters are huge. Absolutely huge.
Yes. Those things that go a long way. And yes. I can attest to my own life. I've had places I went for interview and like you said, you never know if you're a finalist, until sometime later, something won't even tell you. But this, I was, you know, grateful that they told me. It was like, it was only you and one more person. And the only difference was the person knew that area, that actually lived in that area forever. You know, I brought the clinical background, I brought my expertise, all my knowledge, but I did not know the area. And they're trying to service families in that area. So that was crucial. And but guess what? They tried for a whole 6 months to try to find me a position in that organization, everywhere, anywhere they could. So every time there was something open, they sent it to me. They even started sending me job posting before we even went live to the public.
Wow.
You know, because again, that first impression means a lot. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, I ended up not taking any of the offers because the position I applied for was a managerial position, and I knew that that's where I was. That's where I am in my career, you know, and I needed that. So I was also not, you know, lowering my standards just because people appreciated me. I responded in gratitude and thanked them and learned more about the position, and did actually a couple interviews with them, and then when you know, we got to the full position, if you want. I'm like, okay, I need more because I have worked enough and I've trained enough. I've grown enough that now, not just I deserve more, quote unquote, but I have more to contribute and I want to be able to do that. But that's where that self-confidence comes from, right? A few years back, I wasn't there. A few years back, I was like, oh, I'll just take what comes my way. A few years back, I'll be like, oh, I didn't get it. You know, just forget about it, right? But things have changed. And sometimes those closed doors, honestly, are also kind of a protection for you because it gives you opportunity now to explore something else. If you take the time to reflect, what did I learn from here? Where do I go from here? You know, it's amazing. Like now I get to work and do consulting for even some of the places where I declined their job offers. Now I work as an independent contractor. Place that I worked before, that even as an employee that called me back and trying to ask me to do, you know, to support them. But now guess what? Now I get to call the shot.
Exactly.
And that's the beauty of it. It's because I've grown. It's not, you know, rocket science. I think it's just the personal growth. And then again, having the support to allow me to pursue my own career goals. I think sometimes people, what I see in my own clients is that we try to make work fit in our lives instead of the other way around. You know, I do want a lot of work with one, workplace well-being, for mental health and work-life balance and, you know, inclusion and diversity. And people often get that backwards. It's like your life is your life. Work is only a piece of it, a part of it. So if you look at it like you're looking at a pie or pizza, right? That's your entire life. It's a full pie. How much, what's the percentage that your work, you know, fits into that, you know? And so even when you're designing your goals or creating goals for yourself, it shouldn't be, oh, this is how work will help me. It should be, this is what I want to accomplish. And where does my work fit into that? You know, it changes the whole dynamic and how you pursue goals for yourself and builds that self-confidence, because now you know what you want and you're not afraid to ask for it.
Exactly. And one of the things I work with my clients on is negotiation strategies, right? Because rarely should we accept the first offer that comes in as far as, you know, all right, we'll hire you for 40,000. Maybe you really wanted 55,000. You have to figure out how do you negotiate, because the 55,000 may be too much for them. You need to ask those questions about salary ranges and that kind of thing. And more than likely, they're going to meet you somewhere in between rather than you settling. And if not, it's not the right fit if there's $15,000 difference. That's a lot of money to be negotiating over, right?
Yeah. Definitely makes a difference. So how can people connect with you? I mean, this is beautiful. And I'm sure people listening like, oh my goodness, I want to continue this conversation, you know, and I'm sure someone will be like, I need the support. I need to build that confidence. I need to prepare for interviews. I need to be able to negotiate, you know, salaries and promotions. Even for people who already have a job, you know, you have a job and you're like, okay, I've been doing this for a few years. Something got to change here. I've grown and I'm bringing more to the table. I should be compensated, you know, fairly. So how can people connect with you?
Thank you so much. Yeah. So my website is www.firstimpressions.com. And if you're interested in looking at the book, The Accident, it's in English and in Spanish. It's in paperback and ebook. And it's also on Audible. So you can get that at booklocker.com/11593. You can also find that information on my website.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And so I encourage everyone, go to our website so you can get the link to the book, but also get the support you need to build the confidence so that you can negotiate what you need in the workplace, right? And in life in general, you know, it's so needed. Yeah. Thank you so much, Gail. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Sue. I appreciate the time. Have a great evening.
Thanks. You too.